Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Dr. Brian Vantine from Washington University in St. Louis spoke about the recent FDA accelerated approval of afami-cel for patients with unresectable or metastatic HLA-O2-positive synovial sarcoma expressing the MAGE-A4 antigen. He discussed results from the Spearhead-1 trial supporting the agent's approval in this indication, and detailed how this regulatory decision may open the door for other potential advancements in synovial sarcoma and other solid tumors. First, what does the FDA accelerate approval of afami-cel in metastatic or unresectable synovial sarcoma mean for this population?
Synovial sarcoma is associated with the expression of an embryonic tumor antigen called MAGE-A4. And about 60 to 80% of every patient with synovial sarcoma expresses this antigen. And in the context of a HLA-O2 subtype of an immune system, a peptide from the MAGE-A4 gets expressed on HLA-O2. And we have used that in a clinical trial to use an engineered T cell to attack synovial sarcoma. And so in this subset of patients with the right immune system and who express a protein, we now have the first modified T cell therapy for a solid tumor. And if you really get into like the results of the clinical trial, then a third of the patients have these extreme deep responses. And it really isn't a met need for this patient population because it's one and done. You treat them, you put the cells in, and then the patient treats themselves, sometimes for years. And that's really kind of the fantasy in the solid tumor world, where we can actually go after a solid tumor with a fancy immunotherapy, have it work, and have it be durable. And it's in that durability in about a third of the patients. It's really exciting because I've had some patients now years into this trial, and they're still there, and I have had to treat them again. And that really gives the patient the highest quality of life that's possible without actually putting them on constant chemotherapy or some sort of oral therapy just to maintain their tumor burden.
Great. Thank you for the breakdown on all that. I know you went into a little bit of detail regarding the findings from Spearhead 1, which you were an investigator of, and the results of which ultimately led to the approval. Did you want to say anything else about this trial? Are there any specific findings that you thought were particularly interesting?
Well, I think, you know, I haven't been on this journey for many, many years, you know, from the drugs from when it goes into the first patient to when it finally becomes approved. I've learned a number of things. The first is that you can't have a bias in who you screen. It's amazing who seems to have the HLA-O2 type immune system where you would expect it. It's mainly a Northwest European HLA, but I have found it in all sorts of people where you wouldn't expect it. So I've learned not to have a genetic bias in how I screen to put on trial. You know, I've learned that, you know, we were treating patients as old as 75 and they were responding also. So you can't have an age bias. And so this is a wonderful therapy where if you can tolerate the induction regimen, and then you can tolerate the cytokine release syndrome that comes with it, which we have tocilizumab for. It's highly effective. And when it works, it works, and it works really quickly. And so I really have enjoyed seeing something that's so novel and so cutting edge work for a rare tumor.
I believe you kind of touched upon this a little bit. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about how this approval might address some sort of unmet need?
Well, what I actually think is interesting about this approval is it opens the gateway for afami-cel. So with this being now approved for synovial sarcoma, behind Spearhead is SURPASS. And what SURPASS is a solid tumor trial. And it turns out that patients that are HLA-O2 who express MAGE-A4 across solid tumors may actually be able to also get access to this in the future. The difference between synovial sarcoma and a lot of solid tumors is that where 60 to 80% of patients who have synovial sarcoma express the target. When you get into solid tumors, it's only 1 to 3%. So it's a lot harder to do the trial where we just looked at a biomarker-driven precision medicine way of using this. Whereas with synovial sarcoma, it was easier to get a larger cohort of patients quickly and really began to understand response data. And so because of that, I think this opens the door for afami-cel and some of the relatives that are coming along behind it to make it across solid tumors in more of a precision medicine way rather than just in the indication I have in synovial sarcoma.
I see. And speaking more generally, or perhaps maybe you could speak from your own perspective, how do you see this agent being implemented into clinical practice?
Well, my personal clinical practice is going to be that as, you know, patients with synovial sarcoma, as they begin to appear in my clinic, I'm beginning the screening. You know, it does take a while. You know, there's a month or so that it takes between identifying a patient, getting their HLA determined, getting their MAGE-A4 status determined, and then actually apheresing them, and then actually infusing them and the manufacturing in between, which means that they really need to be on another therapy for that, usually because synovial sarcoma is usually not an indolent disease up front, and so you don't want to lose control of the disease getting them to a T-cell therapy. But, you know, I also think patients that may have not lived near a center where they could have gotten access to this can now get access to this more readily at home. I think the biggest difference between how we practice now on trial and how we will practice in the future is you'll probably come to a center like mine and have your therapy done, but then be followed completely locally. And I think that will actually expand access and actually make this a lot easier. Make this a lot easier for patients that have issues with having to come to one of the larger cities just to have this done.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It seems to be a very prevalent trend in some of the interviews that I've done before and some of the other discussions that some of my team members have had. It's a lot of ongoing work is making these therapies more widely available, whether it be in a community setting or other environments, just to be able to, I guess, eliminate some of those financial, physical obstacles to access for patients. But looking ahead, are there any toxicities associated with this therapy that stand out to you? And how might clinicians best manage these toxicities or adverse effects?
Well, the main side effect of this regimen and the black box warning that came with the approval is cytokine release syndrome. But I think that's kind of common amongst the T-cell therapies and the CAR therapies. And these are all managed inpatient. And so once you get through that early window, I haven't seen a lot, which is really nice if I, you know, give to say to a patient, which is, we'll get you through the window where you'll be treated, you'll more than likely have cytokine release syndrome, you'll more than likely get tocilizumab, and then on the other side of that, you know, after count recovery, people seem to tolerate and do well. And so they really, I haven't seen much to look at outside that window of treatment, because once the patient starts treating themselves with their own T cells, they seem to tolerate themselves well.
Now, I know you kind of hinted at this earlier, that this approval would open the door for some of its relatives, so to speak. So I guess you could address this in this next question, but I was going to ask, beyond this approval, what other developments in sarcoma have the potential to impact clinical practice?
Well, I think the most readily available next therapy behind this is actually lete-cel, which goes after HLA-2 patients that express MAGE-A4, where the data is really deep for the responses myxoid liposarcoma. Those have also been very durable. I find it interesting that one seems to work better in one cancer, even though you could have both targets, and the other seems to work better in the other. And but I think having more options is always better. You know, there are the next generation T cells like uzacel, which is coming along behind it, which is a CD8 modification. And then there's the new targets that are coming along, which I'm really excited about, especially with all the new PRAME targeting agents. And so I think that these, well, you know, these T cell therapies are really in the rare tumor space. They're going to be in the solid tumor space. And, you know, I think we can see the future is bright in solid tumors. Especially now with the TIL therapies for melanoma, where, you know, CAR therapies aren't just for lymphoma anymore. And so I think this is that option for our patients, and we're going to have to be thinking what targets are there and how we're going to implement that into practice, especially when you express all three. And we'll have to decide who gets what, when, and how. And so this is going to hopefully in the next few years start to sort itself out. But at the same time, it's an exciting time to actually get to participate in patients' care with such novel new agents.
Definitely sounds like there's a lot to look forward to in the fields. And considering everything that we discussed today, was there anything else that you just wanted to bring up about this approval, about sarcoma in general, or anything else that you might find interesting?
So I know right now everybody's in a little bit of a holding pattern because, well, it's approved, it's not available. And so I think the thing is we're all working very hard to get these therapies open at our institutions. There's a lot of contracting going on. But the second it's open at one, because this is no longer on trial, patients can get access to it. And so I think knowing who's HLA-A*02, knowing if you have synovial sarcoma, and being ready to trigger the screening for MAGE-A4 is really in every patient's best interest if you're one of the patients that actually has synovial sarcoma, because you really do need to know your status and how we're going to integrate this into your care plan.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.